California, the Bob Burns Program.
Down in Arkansas,
in that creamy atmosphere, an all-day sucker's last a year, and the seven-year itch is a whole career.
Down in Arkansas.
Lifebuoy presents the Bob Burns Show, bringing you latest news of those kinfolks in Van Buren, more doings of the Arkansas Traveler, Mike Jones and his city slicker. Now, here he is himself, that ex-Marine, Bob Burns.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man. You know, I was just standing here looking out here at all you men who are playing such an important part in the drama that's going on in the world today. And I was just wondering if there's a man in this audience tonight that realizes the drama that's going on in front of your eyes right now. I'm talking about myself now. Of course, you men, you don't know what it means to me to be here. You don't know how long I've looked forward to this moment. I want to tell you men that ever since I was a little boy down in Arkansas, I've always dreamed of someday appearing before the men at El Toro, California. Why, I remember I wasn't no higher than that. One day I crawled up on Papa's knee, and I looked into his eyes, and I said, "Papa, when I get to be a big man, I aim to play before the men at, doggone it, El Toro." Yes. And Papa looked at me in tears come in his old eyes, and he said, "Son, I hate to discourage you at your tender age, but I think you're aiming pretty high. But here I am at last, and I want you men to gaze upon me now in the hour of my triumph." Thank you. I want to thank you men for that applause. That's just about as much as I dreamed I'd get. Now, you know, I'm so happy that I come here. And see, this is the prettiest place I ever saw in my life. And what a wonderful life you men lead here. Why, it just thinks you men can get up any morning you want to. And you can just walk out of the camp without asking anybody. And you can go out here and get a car down to the ocean and put on your bathing suit and just loll around all afternoon in the blue Pacific. And then at dusk, you can come walking lazily back into camp and get 22 days in the brig. While I'm on the subject here, talking about the camp, I just got a word of encouragement for the parents of the boys here in this camp. I know some of them have been kind of worried about the boys because they've always heard that these Marine sergeants are kind of hard on the boys. But I just want to tell the mamas and papas listening in that these Marine sergeants are the kindest, sweetest bunch of men I ever saw. Why, honestly, it's the truth. These sergeants wouldn't hurt a fly. Why, I'm telling the truth. They wouldn't hurt a fly. Now, privates, they'll kill, but a fly, they won't. All you got to do to get along with these sergeants is just do what they tell you. I remember after I'd been in the Marine Corps just a few days, I remember our sergeant was out drilling us, and he says, "Fix bayonets." Well, I didn't do nothing, and he come back to me. He said, "Didn't you hear me say fix bayonets?" I said, "Yes, sir, but my bayonet ain't broke." Well, now, I don't have to tell you men what that sergeant said to me. And ain't I glad I don't have to tell you what that is. But anyhow, I know that right there I learned one lesson. After that, when that sergeant said six bayonets, I fixed mine whether it was broken or not. I guess most of you know that, in fact, all of you know that Spike Jones and his city slicker was down here just a couple of weeks ago. Well, he's back here again tonight, which just goes to show that lightning does strike twice in the same place. Now, you know, there ain't nothing so unique about Spike Jones' band. Pretty anybody could play that kind of stuff. It just happened that Spike Jones was the first boy that had nerve enough to play it that way. Now, right now, he's going to play Casey Jones. Of course, all of you know Casey Jones was a notorious engineer. But never in all his career did he ever take a ride like he's going to get tonight. Now, Del Porter and Country Washburn going to sing it for you. Spike, the semaphores are with you. Go ahead.
If you want to hear the story about a brave engineer, Casey Jones was the rounder's name. On a 6-8-wheeler, boys, he won his fame. The caller called Casey at 4:30. He kissed his wifey at the station door. He mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand. It's a farewell trip to the promised land. Casey Jones mounted to the cabin. Casey Jones with his orders in his hand. Casey Jones mounted to the cabin. Took his farewell trip to the promised land. Casey was the engineer, but have you heard the story of the bombardier? Casey Jr. was the bombardier's name. He's the son of Casey, and his name's the same. The call to scramble came at 4:30, and Casey got his chance to even up the score. He mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand. He said, go knock the stuffing out of Georgia land. Casey Jones mounted to the cabin. Casey Jones, orders in his hand. Casey Jones mounted to the cabin, got set to knock the stuffing out of Georgia land.
In Shangri-La, they got a boat to plane. The ceiling was high, not a sign of rain. They revved up the motors and got set to go to pay an unexpected visit on Tokyo. In climbed Casey's the bombardier. Do little read the orders and he gave a cheer. Four lines of ferret hanging in the faint pillow. Where's a mighty pretty calling card to Tokyo? They flew and they flew across a deep blue sky, with everyone among them had to do or die. And then they tell you people, the feeling was grand when they sighted up the targets over Tokyo land. Now all of the sounds they ever heard that day, the sweetest one they heard was the bombs away. They strafed them in the harbor, the street and in the square. Then they headed for a land of down.
You know where? Casey Jones.
Working for the nation.
Casey Jones.
With his orders in his hand.
Casey Jones.
Working for the nation, and he sent those monkeys to the promised land.
Jones, he not only plays loud, he plays fast.
Well, Bob, speed is the keynote in the armed forces today, too. I've watched the boys in these camps and bases go through their daily routines, and the day goes so fast that before you know it, it's gone. They get up in the morning, and they answer the roll call and take a life boy shower, and then they jump in the bed and get all dressed and rush over to the mess and go, Dr. Villain, they wish you could take a life boy bath, listen to the sergeant, turn, break mess around in the field and get out of the place, where they're going to come out there, take a three-point lady, take a life boy bath and mess again, and more drill, study, and working, and flying, zoom, and back down, ready for a life boy shower, and then off the mess, and work, after a long, hard day of that, those fellas are so tired that if a beautiful, luscious, breathtaking blonde begged them for a kiss, they'd say no.
Dick, you can't be talking about the servicemen, not unless they've changed since I was in the Marines.
Yeah, I was only kidding, Bob. But seriously, the pep those boys do have at the end of a hard day really is amazing.
Oh, no, it ain't, Dick. From the way you describe the typical day at camp, seems like the boys do nothing but take life-force showers. You got to admit yourself, Dick, that a lifeboy shower sure pepped you.
Well, maybe I exaggerated about how many lifeboy baths they take, but you're absolutely right about the refreshing effect of a lifeboy shower. It's no wonder lifeboy is the most popular soap in the armed forces. After a hard day of studying and drilling and flying, there's nothing like lifeboy to get rid of dirt and perspiration. Put you in shape for a date.
Now, you know these fellas don't go out on dates.
Well, Bob, all I can say is they certainly wouldn't do very well unless they remember that lifeboy is the only soap especially made to stop the... Now, suppose we drop in at the newspaper office where the Arkansas Traveler holds forth as editor. It's a bright, sunny day, and the Traveler has a touch of spring fever. As a matter of fact, he has it so bad, he's only typing with one finger.
Give me the sense
of... Traveler!
Don't bother me, Dewey. I'm writing a poem. Give me the scent of a daffodil. Give me a path on a winding hill. Give me a breath of springtime air. Give me a life that's free from care.
Give me my hat and let me out of here.
Well, I guess you don't know literature when you hear it. What do you want, Dewey?
Well, there's a man outside who wants to see you. Says his name is Harry Davis. Shall I send him in?
Harry Davis? Is he a short, fat man with blue eyes and a red face and a small, turned-up nose?
Yeah, that's him. You know him?
No.
This must be one of your pixie days, boss. Traveler will see you now, Mr. Davis.
Thank you. Traveler, I'm a businessman.
Well. Well, now, that's mighty interesting.
And in the course of my business career, I've traveled all over the face of the globe. Been in every one of the 48 states, but never have I seen a town like this.
You mean you've run into something really different in this town?
Different? I'm afraid to go out in the street in broad daylight. I'm afraid to pass a pool room or a drugstore.
Well, what do you mean?
The girls keep whistling at me.
Even you? Well, they must be getting desperate.
Oh, you don't understand. This is different than anything that's happened to me in my whole life. You see, I've never been popular. But when I was a month old, I was left on a doorstep. And for 3 weeks, people kept wiping their feet on me till they found out I was a baby. Even in school, it wasn't any better. In school, I was elected the man most likely to go to seed. Why, the only woman who ever kissed me was my nearsighted old aunt. But here, it's different. Women want to take me to the movies and buy me drinks. I don't understand it.
Well, now, brother, I'll explain that to you. We sort of got a manpower shortage in our town.
You're telling me.
You see, we got together and figured out that there was about 10 women to every man in this town, so we decided to ration the men.
Ration them?
Sure. If you haven't got enough tires, butter, bacon, or meat to go around, what do? You ration them to see that everybody gets the same amount.
Well, how does it work?
Oh, it's very simple. We give all the women in town a book with points, and then we decided how many points each male was worth.
You mean...
That's right. Now, take you, for instance. Now, how old are you?
I'm 42.
Well, now, all men over 40 only call 60 points, and you're a little ball, ain't you?
Well, it's a little thin on top.
Same thing. Take off 10 more. You wear glasses?
Yep.
There goes another 15. And you're fat, too.
Well, a little plump.
Same thing. There goes another 10. In other words, you'd be a good buy at around 25 points.
I never heard of anything like this.
Of course, if you don't get much action this month, we might make you a little cheaper next month, say 15 points. Just like coffee or bacon. We wouldn't want you to get stale. Come on now, take a little walk with me.
Where are you going?
Well, we're having a meeting of the local appeal board in a few minutes, and I'm Chinnitz, and... Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know some back streets where the women will never find you. All right, lady. All right, lady. The meeting will now come to order. As chairman of the local appeal board for men priorities, I'll listen to any case.
Oh, Traveler.
What is it, Miss Pringle?
Oh, I'm in a terrible fix, Traveler. I've used up all my points, and I have 3 weeks to go.
Well,
the first week of man rationing. And I simply had to see him every night, and before I knew it, I didn't have a point left in the name.
You mean you saw Harvey Potts every night?
Yes, for 2 weeks.
Including Menless Tuesday?
Well, I couldn't help it, Traveler. Harvey really has something.
You mean besides all your points?
What am I going to do?
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing I can do, Lucy. You should have been more careful.
But, Traveler, if I can't see him the rest of the month, somebody else will grab him up.
Well, that's too bad.
But you don't understand. Sally Robbins has saved up all her coupons and was just waiting for this opportunity. And by the time next month comes, it will be lost to me to ever. Please, Traveler, what do you say?
Lucy, I hate to say this, but you'll just have to wait till the new ration books come out. In the meantime, keep away from them black markets. Well, Mr. Davis, now that you've seen the way men ration and work, what do you think of them?
Well, it makes some sense, I guess.
There he is. There's the Traveler. I knew we'd find him.
Now, look here, ladies. I've got some work to do here. Didn't I just see you over at the ration board?
Well, that's what we came to talk to you about. After you left, we had a meeting, and we came to some very definite conclusions.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we figured this whole thing out. And according to the way the rationing system works, practically every man in this town is accounted for.
I know that.
But we seem to be just one man short, and that's throwing the whole plan out of kilter. Now, if we could get just one more mail, everything would be perfect.
Excuse me, Traveler. I think I'd better be going.
Oh, now. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Davis. You don't have to be worried. I'll work this thing out.
You certainly will, Traveler, because you're the only man in town who doesn't have point value.
Hey, I'm... Now, wait a minute. I'm chairman of the appeal board.
But you can always double up, Traveler, and we decided that you're worth 70 points.
70 points? Well, gosh, that makes me kind of desirable.
Well, that's what you are, you great, big, handsome man. Hey, Traveler, it's wonderful to have a date with you. Even if it's only between 8 and 9 in the morning.
Yeah, but look, Ginger. What do you want with me? I'm just an old newspaper editor.
You may be an old newspaper editor, but you're just my type.
Oh, shut
up. Isn't it romantic paddling out here in the canoe?
Yeah, I guess it's all right.
But doesn't this moonlight do something to you?
It sure does.
What does it do to you?
Makes me feel kind of silly wasting my time here when I could be out catching eels. Gee, I can't dance another step. My feet are killing me.
Oh, you're solid, Jackson. And when it comes to tossing the torso around...
Come on, Worm. Let's
Worm. You're cooking, boy. You dance sensational. Well, why you hold me so close?
I can't help it. My tie's pulling your zipper.
Here's some more hot water to soak your feet in, Traveler.
Thanks, Dewey.
And here's some more ice for your head.
If I put in another day and night like I've just been through, I'm going to collapse.
Well, Traveler, I hear you're playing Romeo to every Juliet in town.
I may be playing Romeo, all right, but the way I feel, I must have slipped off the balcony.
Well, Traveler, I have some pretty good news for you.
The only good news I'd like to hear is that every woman's packed up and left this town.
Oh, well, I got something better than that. See, Traveler, I told you a few days ago that I came to town on business.
Yeah?
Well, the business happened to be picking out a site for a new defense plant.
You mean it?
That's right. I found an old abandoned factory that's just perfect for my place, and next week I'm setting up shop.
Well, now, if you have a big defense factory, you're going to need plenty of men, ain't you?
That's right. About 2,000. I've already wired my home office, and the men are on their way.
Well, I declare. Hey, Dewey, Dewey. Hurry up, Dewey.
Yep, what's up?
Tell Chris to hold the front page. You got a new headline.
What is it?
Manpower shortage ease. New defense plants are open.
You mean there are more men coming to this town?
That's right, Dewey. 2,000 strong.
Brother, if they're coming to this town, they better be strong.
And if the city council doesn't do something...
Hey, boss, boss, look out the window. The plant opened up this morning, and look at all those new men pouring into it.
I'm going to see that. Open the window. Now I know what they mean by the expression, the Marines have landed and have the situation well in hand. Boy, did you ever see so many men before in your life?
Well, I guess now you can go back to being newspaper editor again.
There he is. Yes, there's our traveler. Isn't he wonderful?
Well, ladies, I'm sure there's nothing I can do for you anymore, not since those 2,000 men come into town.
That's what we came to talk to you about, traveler. You see, we think you're responsible for helping to get this factory started. We think you deserve some kind of a reward.
Oh, well, ladies, I didn't exactly help get the factory going, not exactly.
Oh, you're just being modest. Anyway, now that there are all these extra men in town, we women have gotten together and we've started to ration ourselves. And this time, we're worth so many points.
Well, now, that's kind of cute.
And because you have been such a big help, traveler, and started this whole thing going, we're giving you 4 books for yourself worth 400 points.
Yeah, but look here, ladies.
But you must use them up, you big naughty man.
Yeah, but... Doggone it, I'm tired.
But you're also patriotic, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm patriotic, and I'll do it. But listen, lady, when this is all over, I want the DSC.
Distinguished Service Corps?
No, darn scared civilian.
Back to tell you some stories about his relatives, I want to tell you the story of how we happened to find our famous foghorn. So many folks have asked us about that I thought you might be interested to know that we found it just by accident. One day we happened to hear the foghorn that's right out here in Los Angeles Harbor, and it seemed like the lonesomest sound in the world. Almost as lonesome as folks who have B.O. Well, you can see what happened then. Next time that foghorn blew, it almost seemed to say B.O. And that was a good thing, because it seemed to be warning folks to take a life buoy bath every day. Well, our sound effects engineers got to work on it, and the first thing you know, we had that foghorn actually saying, B.O. Now, whenever folks hear a foghorn, it reminds them to take a life buoy bath, and that's a good thing, because you don't always know when you offend. But you know when you don't offend, and that's when you take a life buoy bath every day, because life buoy stops B.O. And friends, now that spring is here, it's doubly important to use life buoy, and it's doubly pleasant, too. But a daily life buoy shower will pick you up, leave you feeling cool and refreshed. Remember, if you use life buoy every day, you'll never have to worry about B.O. And now, here he is again, Bob Burns.
Well, you know, when we were doing that little play where I was so bashful, you know how natural I played that? Now, it just took me back to my boyhood days back in Van Buren. I'm telling you, I was the bashfulest thing you ever saw in your life. Now, I don't mean that I didn't know what romance was. I don't want you to think that I never had a girl because of this. I went with a girl down home one time. I went with her for, let's see now, what did I go with her for? I went with her for 4 years, I guess. But it's just that I didn't know what to say to girls at all. I just go out with them and I couldn't think of a thing. I'll never forget the time that we were sitting in her parlor one winter night in front of the fireplace. And she was way down at one end of the sofa and I was up at the other. And we sat there for 2 hours and neither one of us had said a word. Not one word. And finally, the fire in the fireplace pretty near burned out. And you know how a fire in a fireplace will do. Just before it goes out, it kind of
gets one last little flicker, flares up. That gives me something to talk about. I turned to her and I says, I bet you don't know what made that fire turn red then. And she says, well, it sure wasn't nothing we done. That was the frame of mind and the condition I was in when I went in the Marine Corps. And I'll never forget, it was on Paris Island that I first learned about women. You know, I used to hear the boys talk around the bunkhouse. And you've heard the boys talk around the bunkhouse. And there was an old sergeant there. He told me more than I ever knew in my life. When I went home on a furlough, it was Christmas time. The weather was awful cold, and I went around to see my girl and met her on the front porch. Well, she saw the change in me the minute she met me. The first thing I done, I tried out this trick that this old sergeant told me. I blowed my breath on her glasses. And do you know that I bet I kissed that girl five times before she could see what I was doing? You know, there's a little romance been going on around Hollywood for a while. My cousin Luther Roundtree. Luther, come up here. Well, I've been wanting to ask you, Luther, how are you and your girl getting along?
Cousin Robin, I'm the unluckiest thing.
Unlucky?
Yeah, last night me and my girl was sitting out in the port swing, and we'd sat there for about an hour and a half and hadn't said a word, you know. Finally, she spoke up and says, Luther, I'll give you a kiss for your thought.
But what's unlucky about that?
Well, there I was, sitting there, not thinking of a doggone thing.
That was swell, Bob, but I want every woman listening to me to meet her personal enemy, Frau Emmy Schultz of Berlin, Germany.
Heil Hitler. The bombs of our Luftwaffe will smash the armies and cities of our enemies. And I will help Germany become the master race of the world, because I save every drop of waste for explosives. The Fuhrer has ordered it. Heil Hitler. Today, Europe. Tomorrow, the world.
Well, that German housewife and millions like her are scrimping and saving to help their armies enslave you. You must meet the challenge. For victory, our boys need shells and bombs, and you can contribute the waste fats that make those ammunitions. Save all your meat drippings and waste fats in the smooth-edged can. Every tablespoonful counts. When you have a pound, take it to your butcher. And in no time at all, it'll be on its way to Berlin in the form of a blockbuster.
Got tonight, folks, but be sure and listen in next week, because I think we got a surprise for you. Until then, good night, everybody.
Lather your face before you finish shaving. Well, here's a tip. Use Lifebuoy shaving cream and you lather up once. That's all. And the second half of your shave is as good as the first. That's because Lifebuoy shaving cream picks up and holds longer, more moisture than any fast-drying lather. Remember, if you ever have to shave with a used blade or cold water, you'll be doubly thankful for Lifebuoy shaving cream Stay Moist Lather. The makers of Lifebuoy will again bring you Bob Burns next week at this same time with more about his relatives, more doings of the Arkansas Traveler, and Spike Jones and his city slickers. Remember, Lifebuoy is the only soap especially made to stop B.O. Since the Navy Department does not endorse any product, this broadcast from the United States Marine Air Station at El Toro does not constitute an endorsement of our product by the Navy Department. This program has come to you from El Toro, California. This is the National...